First love has a remarkable way of capturing our entire world. In Judy Blume's groundbreaking novel, 17-year-old Catherine encounters Michael at a New Year's Eve party, beginning with an endearing moment when he notices food on her chin. Their relationship develops with genuine sincerity, from their first date at Wachung Reservation, where they share a meaningful moment holding hands, to their first kiss, approached with gentle consideration and respect. His sincere compliments make Catherine feel truly special, expressing sentiments she had never heard before. Their connection grows through nightly conversations, where they share the meaningful details of their daily lives. His beloved aging dog Tasha, her dedication to tennis and modern dance, his ambitions to become a ski instructor. When they discuss their past experiences with refreshing honesty, Michael's mature and accepting response demonstrates the mutual respect that forms the foundation of their relationship. What makes their story so compelling is not grand romantic gestures, but rather the authentic, careful steps they take in building trust and understanding, always balancing natural attraction with thoughtful consideration for each other. The narrative captures the essence of adolescent romance while maintaining emotional depth and sincerity, showing how meaningful connections develop through open communication and mutual respect. Catherine's identity is deeply rooted in her family. Her father, a fitness-obsessed pharmacist who owns two drugstores, fostered her love for tennis since age 8. Her mother works as a children's librarian, while her sister Jamie excels in music and art. Their home, white walls adorned with Jamie's colorful artwork, impresses Michael on his first visit. Catherine's grandparents further shape her foundation. Grandma Hallie, a former congressional candidate, practices law with Grandpa in New York. When her parents vacation, her grandparents stay with the girls, with Jamie and Grandma bonding over cooking. Despite her grandfather's stroke, Grandma treats him normally, modeling dignity and enduring love. This family structure provides Catherine with a template for healthy relationships. As she notes, people from happy homes, like my grandparents, tend to have good marriages themselves. As her relationship with Michael deepens, her family's influence emerges. Her father worries about her getting too involved, her mother offers nuanced guidance, and her grandmother sends information about birth control. Through these perspectives, Catherine's family equips her with values and information to make thoughtful decisions, a privilege not all teenagers have when navigating first love. Forever broke ground in 1975 by portraying teenage sexuality honestly without shame or consequences. Catherine and Michael's physical relationship develops naturally alongside their emotional bond. When she sets boundaries during their first intimate moment, he respects them completely. Their perspectives on sex differ from friends like Erica, who views it as primarily physical and separate from love. Catherine believes sex should express love, which guides her approach to intimacy. During their Vermont trip, despite Catherine's period, they explore other forms of intimacy. "We kissed until Michael removed his pajama top and suggested I take off my nightgown too. With just thin layers between us, we moved together until I climaxed." When they decide on intercourse, Catherine takes responsibility by visiting Planned Parenthood, showing her agency in contraception decisions. Their first time isn't idealized. Michael finishes quickly, and Catherine experiences discomfort rather than pleasure, though he promises improvement. This portrayal is revolutionary in its honesty. Physical intimacy appears as neither perfect nor shameful, but as a normal part of loving relationships requiring communication. As they continue, Catherine eventually takes charge of their lovemaking, demonstrating how comfort and pleasure develop with trust and experience. The concept of forever forms the emotional core of Catherine and Michael's relationship. After their first intimate night in Vermont, Michael asks if she loves him forever, and she answers yes, a moment of absolute sincerity sealed with a gold disc necklace engraved with forever. This promise faces its first challenge when Theo, Catherine's camp tennis instructor, suggests that forever is one hell of a long time for a kid. Their summer separation, Catherine at camp in New Hampshire, Michael working in North Carolina, tests their commitment. At camp, Catherine develops an attraction to Theo, manifesting in a vivid sexual dream that leaves her ashamed and prompting a reassuring letter to Michael. Yet, the attraction grows, culminating in an emotional moment during a slow dance that leaves Catherine confused and tearful. When Michael makes a surprise visit and discovers Catherine and Theo holding hands, the forever promise shatters in a painful breakup. Their final encounter at Han's department store is poignantly ordinary. Though Catherine wants to tell Michael she'll never regret loving him, that maybe she still does, she only manages, "See you around." This exploration offers a compassionate view of teenage promises and their evolution, suggesting love can be genuine, even when it doesn't last forever. While Catherine and Michael's relationship forms the narrative's core, friendship networks provide crucial support throughout. Catherine's friendship with Erica offers perspective without judgment, as when Erica explains her parents' camp decision isn't about breaking your leg, but breaking your cherry. Erica's relationship with Artie serves as a counterpoint to the main romance. When Artie confesses he's trying to find out if he's gay, but is scared to try, Erica responds compassionately. However, when Artie later attempts suicide, his shower curtain rod breaks, the novel reveals the limitations of teenage support networks in addressing serious mental health issues. Sybil's pregnancy storyline further explores friendship during crisis. When visiting Sybil after she gives up her baby for adoption, Catherine and Erica witness her complex emotions as she discusses missing graduation, plans for Smith College, and getting an IUD, processing a life-altering experience while trying to move forward. These relationships create a realistic social ecosystem around Catherine's journey, showing how first love doesn't occur in isolation, but is shaped by friendships, family bonds, and community connections that provide essential support during transitions. As Catherine and Michael's relationship ends, the novel offers a nuanced perspective on how first love shapes us, even when it doesn't last. Forever treats young love with dignity, acknowledging its lasting impact on personal development rather than dismissing it as practice for real adult relationships. Their breakup portrays the genuine pain of losing first love without melodrama. When Michael discovers Catherine's feelings for Theo, their confrontation is raw and painful. His anger, "I won't share you," and her confusion create a realistic scene that honors their connection while showing its dissolution. Catherine's inability to respond to Michael's kisses the way she used to physically manifests her changing feelings. Their final encounter at Han's department store is awkward and brief, with polite questions, formal politeness masking deeper emotions. Catherine wants to tell Michael she'll never regret their relationship, but can only manage "see you around." The ending suggests that while first love may end, life continues with new possibilities. Theo's call indicates potential for a new relationship without diminishing what Catherine shared with Michael. Our capacity for love grows with experience. We build upon what past loves taught us rather than replacing them. Through Michael, Catherine learns to advocate for her needs, make responsible choices about her body, and recognize when a relationship is no longer right. First love may not last forever, but its impact on who we become certainly does.